It's great to be with you. We have some papers in the back on the table, a picture of a prayer card that you can put up to remind you to pray for us. And because our time is usually limited, we have put together the various aspects of our ministry into these papers that have pictures and explanation. They're just explaining what we're involved with in the various aspects. We have various men's ministries, women's ministries, a lot of youth ministries, because Uganda is primarily a nation of young people. We have development projects that we have been doing, the literature ministry, as well as the administration. Whoops, I'm dropping them all over here. So feel free to pick up some of these on the table in the back. You can read about it. It helps to inform you a little bit more of the various aspects of what we're trying to do. We value the time very much in coming and being with you, because for many, many years, it's about 37 years now, we have had a team effort working with you, going into Central Africa, into the country of Uganda. And we try to make it a point about every 2.5 to 3 years to come and give you a report so you can be up to date on what's happening. It was the same thing that Paul did when he was dealing with, you know, the people from Antioch or Philippi or different ones that were sharing in his ministry. And he states that to the Philippians when he wrote to them in Philippians 1, verse 12. He says, "And now I want to give a report. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my circumstances, my situation have resulted in a great progress in the gospel." He goes on to explain to them exactly what was happening. And it was exciting because even those people in the court of Caesar were hearing the gospel. And even though he was in prison, you know, the gospel was going forth and people were being saved. And it's exciting for us to come and report to you that the work is encouraging in Uganda. You know, people are being saved and the churches there are becoming stronger and stronger and desiring to move out and to touch all corners of this country, of Uganda. We see, you know, great growth and development. And this past year, we have held, you know, meetings together with the leaders and prayed together over scripture and discussions and said, what does God want us to do? And the Ugandan people have been really encouragingly united in a vision, saying, we want to reach all of Uganda with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have put into place many different projects and things to help them so that they have the resources, like you're having a garage sale. They have agricultural projects and different things that they're doing to raise some money so that they can be sending people out to different villages and different areas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for us, it's exciting to work with them. It's exciting to see the growth and what's happening there and the unity that they have. We have, you know, various goals of trying to mobilize all of the people. You know, at times there are some people that can stand up, preach, others that can go out and evangelize. Some people say, well, what can I do? And so they have put in place agricultural projects, different things where everyone can have a part. Everyone can be sharing in the work and the ministry that is going on. Whether it's a spiritual ministry or a project ministry, their objective and their vision is, let's get everybody busy for the Lord because we're a team. And we look on you also as team players. You are part of the team because you were praying for us. And some for many, many years have been standing with us and communicating with us and praying for us. And we appreciate that. And when God looks at it, he doesn't look at just what Bob and Sue are doing. He says, what is the team doing in Uganda? And you were part of that team. And that's why we want to come and share with you. We have many opportunities, and I could go on talking about this because we can go into public schools, we can go into the hospitals, we can preach the gospel in the schools, which is different than this country. But over in Uganda, it's open, and they want us to come and start the day with preaching the gospel to the young people. We can go in and present the Emmaus Bible study courses, and the students are taking them, and the work is moving ahead. We can go to the hospitals. We're encouraged to go to the prisons, but at times there's not enough hours in the day to do what is God has set before us all. But the Ugandans are concerned, and they say, we also want to do all that we can to reach out with the gospel. We're printing literature, gospel tracts, Bible study materials, and those are being used. Evangelism is going on. They're holding conferences and seminars. But let me stop. Let me just show you very quickly a few pictures. I don't want to take too much time, but just briefly to look so that you can see firsthand what is happening there. We give a report of Uganda, and we live right down in this southern part, right here in Uganda. It's almost in the center of the continent. It's a very beautiful place. It's up in the highlands of Central Africa. There are many volcanoes and beautiful scenery around. It's a beautiful place to visit and also a beautiful place to live. There are many people there. It's the highest non-urban population of any place in Africa. We live in the city of Kabale, just at the base of these mountains. This is Main Street in Kabale. Our desire is to show ourselves an example of good works in every way. We work together for God's glory with a lot of Ugandans. We work at training. We have a lot of men that we're working to train, and we discuss and pray together, seeing how God can use all of us to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ through this whole country. It's a great group of men, and I enjoy working with them. They have put in place various agricultural projects. This is a pineapple that they're planting. They have coffee. They have, planting bananas, different projects. We have also been training them on computers. They come in and receive training. We have conferences and seminars. That was the chapel in Kabale. And they're coming in for training. We have a lot of different groups of believers that have been started, and they're meeting together, and every Sunday they're rejoicing and worshiping the Lord together. It's a joy to get out and be with them and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're full of questions, and it's a great time just to discuss together and say, what is it that you want to know? And we study the Word of God and we pray together. We're also preparing a lot of literature. We have pamphlets and tracts helping to answer a lot of their Bible questions, as well as our Sunday school material. It's a 2-year curriculum. Adult literacy primers that we have written and put together. We have a printing operation. This is our computer to press printer. We have an offset press, as well as using the computers and laser printers as well. The believers come and give their time to collate or to staple literature so that it can be distributed. This is a new printing operation, the new room that we have completed on the campus, and this is a storeroom where we're storing a lot of the materials and tracts. We have about 40 different publications of literature, some in English, but mostly in the vernacular languages. We also have a group of people that distribute courses out, Bible study courses. We have 36 different Bible courses that are distributed out for extension ministries. The courses are sent to schools, to high schools, to colleges, where the students are taking the courses and studying God's Word. Working with youth, we want to be a part of their lives, and that involves many different things, having youth clubs, sports activities, Sunday schools, so that we can be building into their lives as much as possible. It's a joy to work with the youth, and about 75% of the country is in 20 or younger, and it's a great time to have clubs and activities meeting together. We also have a child sponsorship, which is continuing, and that provides some school fees, other supplies, as well as being used for the development of resource centers where they have a safe place to come to study after school, to have games and activities. This is the resource center in Kabale where we live, and they've decorated it themselves as a cityscape room. So this is all of the background. They have their own computer lab where they can study and do research as well. We can go into the schools, as I said before. The schools are very open to going and preaching and proclaiming the gospel to the young people. Every day begins with a general assembly of all the students, and they like it when you can come and share the gospel. We're also here giving out certificates for those who have finished many of the courses of study. We have youth clubs, sports activities. They love to get together and sing, as well as doing crafts and receiving Bible instruction. We have set up in Kabale a volleyball court on their Bible school campus, a soccer field, and also a basketball court where the youth can come in and have activities on holidays or after school. It's also a time to be used as outreach as well, to reach out to the youth. Working with women, Sue does a great job in going out to the various chapels, working with them, teaching them, and encouraging them in the work of the Lord. She enjoys hearing them, and they have a great time together. Some of our work is through development. We're trying to build the infrastructure. This is our Bible school campus, where students come in on a periodic basis. We had to plant trees and hand saw them to make our own A-frames and to put on the roofing. It's a labor-intensive effort in our development. But we were able this last few years to put on the roof, and most of the building has been completed this time. It gives us a big auditorium, the printing operation, as well as lecture halls and different offices. In December, we finished plastering the inside and most of the outside, and we had a dedication service, and it was a joy for the believers to say, this is our place now, and we can worship the Lord here. So it was a good time of meeting together. It encourages our hearts to see how God is changing lives. So many of the people have come out of darkness into light, and they're living for Christ, and it's a joy to our hearts to be able to work with them. Some, like David here, that were real drunkards and rascals, but they have been transformed to an evangelizing ministry of preaching the gospel. God has enabled us to go through your efforts to go to this part of the world, but we want to give glory to God. He is the one that has made it all possible for us. In all of these things, just briefly, you have had a very important part. And, you know, the local community, the government are encouraged. They are very positive in the efforts that we are doing together. And we have a good relationship with the government as well as the people in the community, because we are there to present the truth. And the government realizes that. And they see how lives are being changed. Christ is building his church. And it's an encouragement to us. We don't want to take the credit and say, oh, Bob or Sue are doing all of these things. We're only an instrument in the hand of God. And he is the one that is building his church. And in all of it, our objective has been to present Jesus Christ, the living Word, who is the answer and the Savior of the world. We present Jesus, But we also present the Word of God, the written Word. That's our objective. We are not there to just provide social development and things. We want to present Christ and His Word. That is our objective. And, you know, we realize that we are in a struggle. We are in a battle. Not against flesh and blood, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against people. You're wrestling against the forces of darkness, principalities and powers in the spirit world. We don't see them, but they see us. And they are determined to stop us. And it is only by the grace of God that we as a team can go on. Yes, we face struggles, ups and downs. But in all of it, God says, keep going. Be faithful. And He has given us the promise, 1 John 4:4, where He says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We're on the winning side, and we have a great message and a great Savior to proclaim to the world. We have the truth of God, and it's powerful. It is powerful. When I look at the life of Peter, here was the Apostle Peter. He had walked with Jesus. He had seen Jesus crucified. He had seen, you know, the resurrection. He went to the empty tomb. He saw the resurrected Lord. And he gave his life in service, proclaiming Jesus throughout the world that time. But when he reached the end of his life, he said some interesting things. Look at for a moment over in 2 Peter. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, he admits that he knows that his time is short. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. And he says, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things back to mind. What was he going to do? The Spirit of God had, you know, told him that your time is short. He might have been in prison even at this time. He was soon to die. But he says, in all of that, what am I going to do? The Spirit of God said, okay, write it down. Write it down. Write the instruction here. And at times when we're working with literature, people say, well, you know, why literature? This is a technological age, you know. When God wanted to communicate to us a truth, what did he do? He wrote a book, his word, so that we can open it up, we can read it. And Peter says, I'm going to do that. And he put together, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, these two short books. But in it, he points out, in these following verses, the significance. He goes on, let's look at verse 16 to 18. For he says, and we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him on his majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard these utterances made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Think about that for a moment. Here he says, we have the Word of God. The Word of God. And he says, this isn't just a cleverly, put together tale or theme. This is God speaking to us. And he says, God, first of all, has confirmed his truth. It's confirmed. It wasn't just what people hear or what they see on, you know, social media. He says, we were eyewitnesses of it. God confirmed that truth. And he wrote it down and he says, now I want to explain to you that we saw Jesus Christ transformed before us in all of his glory. He is God. We saw it. We heard with our own ears from heaven the reality of what the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. It was confirmed. And he says, and you know what else? We ourselves were there. We were present. Powerful words here in the Greek where it's saying, you know, it's not hearsay. We were there. We saw it and we heard it. And it was something that is able to transform, to conform lives. It changed our life. After the ascension of Jesus Christ, you know, the religious leaders were trying to stop the disciples. And they couldn't. And they started to listen to him. And they started to say, you know, these are uneducated guys. But they're speaking like professors. And it says, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Their lives had been transformed by the truth. Their lives had been changed. And to me, working with a lot of these Ugandan men and women, I count it a joy because I see Christ changing their lives. And I see their commitment and their determination to give their lives. We could go on and on and on about how God has come through families, how the young people have been saved in Sunday schools, and then how the mother and the father have been saved, how some of the young people have gone out to look for work outside, and they say, you know, we really don't want to live for the world. We want to live for Jesus, and we want to give our lives in service to him. God is in the business of changing, of conforming lives to the truth of the Word of God. Recently, I have been reading through a lot of material on the youth of America. And, you know, some of it is, you know, a bit shocking because we're living in Uganda and we sometimes lose contact with what's happening in America. And so we try and catch up. And, you know, some of the statistics and the polls that they have done are amazing to us. They're saying among the young people in Oregon, about 50% or more of them don't even accept the existence of God. They say, yeah, there's no God. We're atheist. I mean, that is shocking to me. There are some reports that come out that I have to chuckle about. They say, among the youth, 83% of them go to sleep with their cell phones. I mean, okay. For me, I put mine away over there. But, you know, these are interesting things. But one sobering thing is 75% of the youth do not accept the Bible as the Word of God. It's just a book, like any other book. That's 3 out of 4 reject the Word of God. We have a young generation coming up in America that have no standard of truth. As it was back towards the beginning when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, when we deny the truth of the Word of God, the standard that is there, then what do you conform to? What do you change into? Well, I think you could read the Old Testament and the book of Genesis and see what the world changed into very quickly. And we're heading that way. And even Jesus himself said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. We're going back. But the truth of the Word of God is very important. It is something that has been confirmed from heaven itself. This is my word. Hear it. Follow it. It is powerful, and we present it and we teach it in every way possible in Uganda because it is the standard of truth. And through its teaching, it can guide people. It is a light to our path. It is the instruction for our lives. It is so important that we be studying it. And this passage goes on, verse 19, where it says, so we have this prophetic word made more sure or certain or confirmed. It is trustworthy, to which we do well to pay attention. To pay attention. You know, here Peter is saying, you know, I'm going soon, but the Word, the Bible is there. And my counsel to you as an old man is pay attention to it because it is the standard of truth. We do well to pay attention to it as what? A lamp shining in a dark place. In America, it's hard for us to find a dark place. You go to Uganda and you find a dark place. There are no lights some places. Around here, you have street lights, you have lights everywhere around. We live in a world of darkness. A world of sin. And that's why God has given us his standard of truth. Christ, the living word, and the Bible, the written word, to guide us as a standard in our lives, as a light to show us the way to go through a dark place. If you could go someplace in Uganda where there's no electricity, no lights, maybe it's a cloudy night so there's no moon or stars, it's dark. You can almost feel it, you know. And then you say, let's go for a walk. The first thing people say is, well, do you have a torch, a flashlight? We need a light to show the way. We live in a world of darkness, and God says, I have given you the light of the Word of God. You do best, you will be smart if you turn it on and let it shine into your lives. So Peter is saying that, pay attention to it as a light. And he goes on, verse 20, he says, and know this first of all. It's a statement that says, and there's something that's very important, I want you to get it. Don't miss it. We have a truth that has been controlled by God himself. He says, get this first of all. That no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will. It wasn't a man sitting down writing. He says, but men were moved by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God. He uses a little word here, moved. In Greek, that word is used a lot in the book of Acts. It's used in relation to a sailboat. If you go out onto the Columbia River, you can see sometimes these sailboats that are pushed by the wind. Okay? It's the same word that he uses. As that boat is pushed by the wind, so the Holy Spirit pushed these men to write down the words that God wanted for us. The Word of God is important. The youth of our day are rejecting it. And soon we will start to see more and more the results of a nation without standard of truth, where everyone would begin to do what is right in their own eyes. It's our message that we take to Uganda to proclaim this word of God, to point them to the living word, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Oftentimes, I encourage our men, I say, be men of the book, men who learn it, men who live it, and men who let the words of the Bible guide and direct their lives. One of our young people, whenever he sees me, he says, "Oh, over there, man of the book." And I say, "Hi, Frank." You know, we want to be an example. We want to learn the Word of God and follow it and live it in our lives. And we are encouraging the men and women and youth in Uganda to do the same. And God is changing lives. God is building His church. And you are a part of it. And we bring you just a brief report of what is happening. We have the papers in the back. You can read more about it. Susan and I are around if you have questions. We love to try and fill you in on more of what's happening. But we are encouraged. We're excited of what's happening in Uganda. This was a dark continent at one time. The light of the truth of God is shining forth. And they are taking positions in these African countries that we even refuse to take in our country. Like, it's homosexuality is illegal there. And, you know, they're opening the schools to the Word of God because they say, we see something different in this book, and we want our young people to be taught it. God is doing a work, and we're excited to be a part of it. We want to thank each of you for your part in this ministry. And please share with us if you have questions. Ask us. Don't be afraid, because we love to talk and share with you what's happening. Okay? Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Word, that He is alive and lives forevermore, that He has purchased our salvation. He has given to us the greatest gift that could ever be given of eternal life, of hope, a future. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Word, the written Word, and how it can be a guide and a standard for our lives. Help us to be learning it, to live it, and to let it guide us in all that we do day by day. I thank you for each of these people here and for their team effort with us, and how God is using all of these efforts to bring the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ into this area and this country of Uganda, Africa. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.